Father, we thank you, Lord, that always we know that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Cause that light, O Lord, to shine in our hearts today, that we may have understanding of what the Spirit is saying to the church, even at this time. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. Let the words of our mouth today be like the pen of a ready writer, to be able to speak a word in season to everyone that is weary, that we be not weary, that we be encouraged in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Three seasons. Do your part. Believe for the dew of heaven and wait for the dew season. Praise the Lord. That's the way it was brought out in this room yesterday, and that was good. So do our part. We gave some scriptures for that. You must do your part. You can't fold your arms. You must do your part. There's always a part that the Lord wants us to play. You know, I talked about triple action faith in Matthew 7:7. The three things he put out there. He said, ask, seek, and knock. Well, those are things that you must do. And as you do each part, he responds. He said, when you ask, you shall receive. When you seek, you shall find. When you knock, it shall be open unto you. Well, but you got to do those things to get the results that he said will happen. So, we must ask, we must seek, we must knock. And again, we must be diligent and do our part. Proverbs 22:29 says, seest thou a man that is diligent in his ways? Well, the end of that man is that he will stand before kings and not before mean men. We must always do our part. Our part is necessary for all the things, our relationship with the Lord. Now, let's not say, oh, you know, there is a reason, you know, why I can't do my part. The other day we talked about slothfulness, folding on the arms and so forth. There's many reasons why people will not do something. They hide behind all kinds of excuses, you know. But, you know, no matter what, no matter what we have going on, we must do our part. Praise the Lord. There is a part that we must do in believing the Lord. The part that we must do in seeking the Lord. There's a part that we must do even in waiting for the promise. Jesus, one time he said, look, you have heard of the promise of the Father from me. Well, now you wait for it. It's coming. Tarry ye over here and wait for it, he said. You know, well, while they tarried, they prayed, they waited. And then one day, comes sweeping down on them. So, there's always a part that we must play. Praise the Lord. And Jesus, he gave us a lesson in John 15 about the people that are doing nothing. He said, every branch in me that is not doing will be taken away. You know, so you know, it's important for us to be doing. But when we are doing, we must be doing according to his will. Can't just be doing anything. You know, we got to be led by the Spirit of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Being led by the Spirit of God is so critical in everything that we do. That means we yield to him and let him lead us. Romans 8:14. Praise the Lord. Now, so, you know, there was a lot said about us doing our part, even for spiritual things. Hosea 10:12 says, we must break up our fallow ground. We must seek the Lord, do all of that in order for us to get him to rain down righteousness upon us. So there's always that part we must play, you know. And 2 Timothy 2:19 talks about the covenant of the election of grace. You know, the Lord knows them that are his. That's his part. Our part is let them that know the name of the Lord or call upon his name, let them depart from iniquity. So there's always a part to play, on and on and on, you know. And so those, you know, that those and other scriptures were what we gave yesterday concerning doing our part. We talked about the seasons as called out in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You know, talked about a season for this, a season for that, etc. You know, so, well, there is a season for us to do our part. And then there is a season for us, while we are doing our part, we must be believing for the dew of heaven. Now, the dew of heaven is God's favor on your efforts. That's what the dew of heaven is. You know, because except the Lord build with you, when you are building, it's in vain, according to Psalm 127. We know that. Except, you know, the Lord build the house, they that are trying to build it are laboring in vain. You know, so we must let the house be built by the Lord. We walk alongside with him. And the Lord said one time to me, will you build with me? And I said, wow, you know, what an incredible privilege for the Lord to ask and say, will you build with me? You know, the Lord doesn't need anybody. He can do all things by himself. But he has chosen, you know, to, you know, relate to us in the way that it looks like he needs us. That's the way he's chosen, because he wants us to be a part of what he's doing. And it's a tremendous honor to even be, you know, someone that will be in his vineyard. Remember the story in Matthew chapter 20. It was the master of the vineyard that went looking for people to walk in his vineyard. It wasn't the people that said, oh, can I get in there and do something? Oh, no. He was the one that went out. First part of the day, he went out, looked for some people and said, you know, you know, after he agreed with them for, you know, a penny a day, he said, you go and walk in my vineyard. And a little later on, he went out and found some more people. Then a little later on, he went out and found some more people. Then even at the end of the day, when there was only 1 hour left, he went out again and found some people that were standing idle in the marketplace and said, why stand you here idle all day long? He said, well, because no one has hired us. He said, well, okay, you go into my vineyard and do. Ha, you got to do. And then I'll give you whatever is right. You know, so it is the Lord that extending that opportunity to us to get in there and do. Let's never think that we're doing anything. We're not doing anything. It is the Lord, you know, according to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, it is the Lord that's working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But within us, we must be determined to be doing. But also remember that it is by his grace. Zechariah, you know, chapter 4 and verse 6. Not by power and not by might, but by the Spirit of the Lord. So while you are doing, remember also to be believing for the blessing on your efforts. The Lord must bless the efforts, otherwise it'll be in vain. That's right. You know, except the Lord build the house, they labor, but in vain that build it. So we must let the Lord build. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you can walk with him as partners in the building. The Lord told Jeremiah, look, here's what I want you to do. But first, let's do some things. Let's pull down, let's uproot, let's cast down, let's throw down some things. Then let's build and let's plant. I mean, plant and build. So the Lord wants us to work with him. So that's the part that we must always do. In everything, we must do our part. We talked about whether you're students, whether you're a worker, whether you are this and that, the part that you must play. You must always play your part in life. And then the D, that's the do O part. The DEW part is the favor of God from heaven upon what you are doing upon the earth. You know, God told to Job one time, he said, "Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven?" Huh? He asked him, "Can you set the dominion thereof upon the earth?" Have you ever stopped to think of what that means? You know, I know I've alluded to it many times, you know, but what it means is, you know, you can read that in Job 38 and verse 33. "Do you know," he said, "knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth?" Well, that means things happen in heaven first that govern things that happen upon the earth. And if you know how to do it, you know, you look to the heavens for favor upon what you are doing upon the earth. And once everything is set in order, then things will be aligned perfectly upon the earth. In your life, not in everybody's life. Things don't always align. But for you that are aligned to his will, if you understand how it works, and there's favor from God, from the heavens released upon you, cause things upon the earth to work out perfectly for you. Not one thing, but all things. One particular thing may not seem like it's working well for you, but when you take all the things together, that's what he said. He didn't say everything, but he said all things. Now, if he had said everything, then that means we'll never see any trouble, we'll never see any trials, because everything's always good. But no, he didn't say everything. He said all things. So some individual things may look as though they are not good, you know, but good or bad, when you take it all together, at the end, it's all going to come out good. Praise the Lord, you know, so. But trust in him for his favor. In the book of Psalm 44, verse 3, we're told that they got not the land in possession by their own power or their own sword or their own arm of strength, but the Lord, because he had a favor unto them. And again, you know, remember the blessing that, you know, Isaac put on Jacob in Genesis chapter 27 and verse 28. "The Lord give you the dew of heaven," D-E-W. And I shared with you a story in the life of Jacob, how actually that dew of heaven favored him. And he got the upper hand finally over Laban that was trying to cheat him of everything. And for 20 years, he served the man. 7 years for one of his daughters, which he thought he was getting the other. And then another 7 years for the one that he really wanted. And then after, the man persuaded him to serve for some more years. And served another 6 years. 20 years together. But in the last 6 years, the Lord gave him the dew of heaven. Showed him how to convert the wealth of Laban to his own. Legally, without anybody being able to do anything about it. The merchandise of Ethiopia. Men of Sabaeans, you know, riches of Egypt. They'll come over unto you in dromedaries. The Lord will bring them. Converted unto you, riches of the Gentiles. The Lord, you know, is something that he's fixing to do. Now, well, our eyes are not set on that. Our eyes are just set on the Lord. But the Lord knows what he's doing. Someday, he will begin to open your eyes and begin to show you how get the hidden riches of secret places and the treasures of darkness. Well, why are they called treasures of darkness? Because people can't find them. It's dark. It's not evil things. It's just that it's hidden, you know. And then God begin to open your eyes, you know. And, you know, God will lead you and show you mighty things, you know, how you can get wealth. Remember Deuteronomy 8 and 18. It is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. You know, that means there is a power that is needed to get wealth. Or it can be power of knowledge. Yeah, it can be power of discovery. But the Lord will give you that power. Again, he said in Isaiah 48 and 17, that the Lord will teach you how to profit. I mean, you can be doing things and not making any profit. You know, you can be working very hard and it's like putting your money in a bag of holes, but not if you have the dew of heaven. The dew of heaven will put a blessing on what you do, but you must trust him for it. I gave an analogy of a farmer that must do his part. At the beginning of the planting season, they must go out there, they must go out there and plow the land, break up the fallow ground, do all that they need to do, clear the weed and so on and so forth. You know, and they must choose their seed carefully. You can't do mingled seed and all of that. You got to choose what you want. And then you plant, you sow, you water it, you do all you can. You weed constantly. You must constantly weed. But while you're doing all of that, you're believing God for a bountiful harvest. The bountiful harvest only comes from God. You can do all those things and may not get a harvest. In fact, the locusts may come and eat it up. Or, you know, the rains may be too much and damage everything. Or the rain may be too little and, you know, everything dried up and parched the land and so on. You know, but when the Lord brings just the right amount of rain and puts a blessing on it, you get a bountiful harvest. So as much as the farmer must do, he also must believe for favor from God. Get the right amount of rain, you know, and put a blessing on the season for harvest. And everybody knows it. You know, they may not acknowledge the Lord for it, but they know it's a blessing. And the blessing comes from God. There's some seasons when the Lord will bless that. Other seasons, well, you know, things may not work out. But when he puts a blessing on it, you know, then it will work out for you. So it's called the dew of heaven. And when you have the dew of heaven, you actually will not go out of season. You will always be in the right season. Someone was shared in the room yesterday. The man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, nor standeth in the way of sinners, but has his delight in the word of the Lord, and in the word of the Lord does he meditate day and night. Well, what did he say about him? He said, well, you know, whatever he doeth shall prosper. He shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. And he will not, his leaves shall not fail. And he will bring forth his fruit in his season. I mean, he will always be in season. He will not even be out of season. Praise the Lord. Because he's connected to the source. It's right there by the rivers of water. That's all he needs. And he will always bring forth his season. Well, he comes from the dew of heaven. Now, the time for the dew of heaven, the Lord says in Psalm 102 and verse 13, cause the favor to come upon your people. Let it be your delight. The time to favor. Favor can also be, you know, when the Lord delights in something, that he puts a blessing on it. You know, that's also called favor. We saw those stories in the Old Testament, you know, like the story of Esther, who later became queen, you know, how her uncle told her to go, you know, do something, ask for something from the king, and when Haman was trying to kill them, and she said, well, you know, I can't go before the king, unless he calls for me. And you know that except, the king delights in you, you know, it's a death sentence if you just show up before him. But if he delights in you, you will put forth that golden scepter and you got it. Well, my uncle said, well, whatever, do it. You know, because you don't think you're going to be safe in there if you don't do it. And the rest of us are out here. So she said, well, okay, pray for me then. And I'm going in. And if I perish, I perish. But I'm going to do it. And they prayed, said, pray for me that the king will delight in me. Praise the Lord. And the king delighted in her. When she showed up, the king to show his delight, tradition will be, it will stretch for that golden scepter. And at that point, it's ask what you want. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, and you know, I've taught that when I did the kingdom series, that the king's favor can be just for you. And that's the difference between, you know, a kingdom versus a democracy and all these things, you know. In the democracy, they may have, you know, like here in the U.S., yeah, we got the Congress, you got the Senate, you got this. Someone's got to put a bill and go through all kinds of gyrations. And people may vote it down and so on and so forth, you know, before it can get into law. But in a kingdom where a monarch operates, you know, he can just make a decree for one person. Doesn't matter whether it's just for all the others. You know, I mean, whether it's the same for all the others, can make it for just one person. That's called the king's delight. It's called the favor of the king. It's like, the latter rain, we're told. You know, it just counts a blessing. And so we've seen some people that got that favor, you know, many times. It is one I was told in Esther was just one of them. You know, we saw the Shunammite woman after she returned from, you know, going away to the land of the Philistines or wherever she went, came back, was about to cry to the king for her land, which she had abandoned for 7 years because the prophet told her, go away. The famine is coming to destroy the place. So go find some place. And in the moment that she was coming back, God timed it perfectly that the moment that she would arrive at the very instant would be the time that, you know, Elisha's servant at one time would be talking about what all the miracles that Elisha had done and how he had raised a woman's dead son back to life. God timed it perfectly. And when he got to the point where I was talking about a woman whose dead son Elisha had raised to life. Because see, you know, in order for the Lord to bless this woman, God began to make the king to ask for what Elisha had done. Tell me, I pray you, all the things that Elisha, the man of God, had done. And then the man said, well, I'll tell you, I was around it. And he began to tell. He said, really? He said, yeah. And I'll tell you what, too. There was a woman whose son had died that this man brought back to life. The king said, no, get out of here. He said, yeah, absolutely. And he said, and as he was saying it, you know, the woman at that very instant. And remember, it was a journey of many days that she was coming from. But God timed it perfectly, constituted by the mind of the Lord, that she would appear at that very instant, a divine appointment. God put it in place in order for her to obtain favor of the king. And then when she appeared, the guy said, my king, my lord, the king, this is the woman that I was just telling you about. And that must be her son. And the king said, are you kidding? Woman, is it true that this thy son died and was raised by the prophet, brought back to life? She said, yes. And at that time, the king was blown away. Blown away. You know. Now, if she had arrived 2 weeks before the king or 3 days before the king was interested in those stories, it would not have made the impact it made. If you had arrived later, it would not have made impact. But at the very point in time, called a divine appointment, that the Lord set that up, you know, and it made the biggest impact, and she obtained favor. And the king said, what do you want? This was the same woman at one time. I said, look, I dwell among my own people. I am satisfied. I don't need to anything to be said to the king for me. Because Elisha said, look, with all this carefulness that she's been careful for us, would she be spoken of to the king? I mean, is there something she wants? He said, no, I'm good. But this time around, she wanted to speak to the king. And she obtained favor. It's called the king's favor. And the man said, look, anything that she asks, go do it. And she asked for her land. And the king said, give it to her and all the proceeds. And it was a blessing too, because she did not have the resources to develop that land like the king had. So when, you know, the land was acquired because she had abandoned it, the kingdom, they developed those resources for years. And the king said, look, give it to her. Count it from the day she left. And then some. She obtained the delight of the king. That's called delight of the king. It's called the king's favor. And when you have it, ask anything. I will do it. You know, ask anything. The king said to Esther, even to the half of the kingdom, I give it to you. You know, favor. That's the dew of heaven come upon you. Many more stories, but let me leave it at that. When you have that favor, it can change stories. You change your story. And Jacob had it. The favor worked with him to give him strategy of how to change his plight, you know, and come out on top. So you heard that story yesterday. And then the last part of it is the D-U-D-U-E season. If you faint not, you got to do the D-O, and you got to believe for the D-E-W. And then, you know, if you do not faint and don't give up, you know, then you're going to get the D-U-E season will come upon you. In due season, Galatians 6 and 9, if you faint not, you will reap. Let us not be weary in well doing. So you must be doing, you know, and keep on believing for his favor. And if you do it long enough and stay right there with your faith, in due season, D-U-E, you will reap. And Jesus asked this question in Luke chapter 18 and 8. He said, look, when you are believing for something, and you've been praying for it, and the Lord finally dispatches the answer, will that answer meet you at the point of faith? Or would you have run up and quit on the Lord? And that's basically the way I interpret that question. Jesus was talking about it's good for men. Men must always to pray and not to faint and so forth, and that the Lord will answer you speedily and all that. But he said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? And I'm thinking in my heart that, well, is he talking about the coming of the Lord, the second coming of the Lord that we are all waiting for here? You know, whatever, however which way you think of it. Is that what he's talking about? Because he's talking about prayer here. You know, I said, well, and one day, some years ago, Holy Spirit just opened up that scripture, you know, in my heart and the mind. And I saw it. And I saw, and the Lord said, well, when I show up, will I find you still at the point of faith? Or would you have run off? And I said, wow. Yeah. So, you know, that's reading between the lines. You know, when you believe in God for something, you're believing for his favor. At the point when he releases it and he finally comes, will he meet you there at the point of faith? Or would you have run off? You know, so most of the time, people give up when the answer is just around the corner. So they waited and waited and waited. And they got weary and they give up. And then they murmur and grumble. We saw that story in the life of the children of Israel many times. You know, in Exodus 15, they started to murmur. Because when they came out of Egypt, you know, there were a lot of things going on. And at one time they didn't find water. Then when they found water, the water was bitter. They couldn't drink it, of course. The Lord showed Moses how to heal that. And then, you know, then they went a little further, and then it was always one thing or the other. You know, but when they started to grumble, and their heart was going back to Egypt and all of that, right around the corner, you know, the Lord had prepared, you know, something, you know, a blessing for them. But it was just around the corner. But they had given up in their heart, and they wanted to go back. They said, look, you know, we need to go back to Egypt. This thing is not working here. So the same people that were crying to God earlier, you know, and then, you know, that's the way people are sometimes. You know, they forget, you know, and then the Bible says, and they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palms. And they camped there. I mean, God had already prepared these 12 wells of water and these 70 date palms or whatever that they could eat from and, you know, refresh themselves. They were just around the corner, but their heart had gone back. So Jesus said, well, when the Son of Man shows up in your situation, will you still be at the point of faith? You know, so those are our three seasons. Praise the Lord. And there is always, these seasons will remain. The physical seasons remain, Genesis 8 and 22. You know, they remain just like the physical seasons, seed time, harvest time, sowing, reaping time, and so forth. Just like they remain. Well, these seasons we're talking about here also remain. You know, you must be doing. Well, that's always an ongoing season. You're always doing. You never stop doing, you know. And the scripture says, whatever your hands find doing, do it heartily as unto the Lord. So you must be doing. Okay. And then you must also be believing God for a blessing on it. And if the Lord can put a blessing on a little, it can go a very long way. You've seen the stories of the little boy's lunch that Jesus put a blessing on. You've seen the story of Elisha and put a blessing. The word of blessing actually is all he said. He didn't even see the pot of oil. All he said was just put a word of blessing on it. Praise God. And the woman, my goodness. You know, she lived, you know, she was able to sell all of that and live many, many years. Same thing, you know, you've seen how Elijah put the word of blessing on the barrel of meal, the cruse of oil, you know, and, you know, once the Lord put a blessing on it, it can go a long, long way. My favorite, of course, is the little boy's lunch, you know, that they put into the hands of Jesus and they put a blessing on it. But when he did, he put it back into the hands of the disciples. You've heard me tell that story. So I love that part because the disciples also had to do something. One, they had to bring something to him because Jesus said, what do you have? And they said, well, you know, we don't have anything but this little lunch, which this boy has offered up. And Jesus said, well, it is enough. You bring it to me. And they brought it to him. But did you know that that little boy also got back 12 baskets of all the things that remained? Well, absolutely. Because he's the one that gave it to the Christ. So he's the one that owned everything else after that. Belonged to him, unless he chose to give it up again. You know, but when Jesus puts a blessing on something, most of the time, he put it right back in your hands. When he gives you wisdom to do something, he will put it in your mind, your heart, and your spirit how to do it, but you are going to be the one to do it. You know, the Lord will tell you that the rain is coming. It never rained before, but the Lord told you the rain is coming, and he's going to wipe all and destroy the earth. But you are the one that's going to have to build the ark. Your name is Noah. That's how it works. He'll show you how to get the timber, but you are going to build the ark. Praise the Lord. He'll put a blessing on you how to feed the multitude, but you're the one that's going to feed the crowd. You know, feed the crowd. Jesus will tell you how to do it, but you're the one that's going to have to do it. Now, put a blessing in your hand, but you got to keep believing as you're dishing out the loaf, the small piece of bread and a couple of pieces of the fish that you have in your hands. You got to keep on believing, but you got to keep moving. There's, you know, 50 companies spread all over. You got to move around and you got to keep dishing it out. As long as you keep believing, and you keep doing, and there is multitude yet to feed, it will keep multiplying. Partners with God in creation, you know, and supply. That's how you do it, you know. So, but when the blessing comes, be sure that you are still believing. Praise the Lord. So, that's a summary of everything that we talked about yesterday and perhaps even more. Now, I'm going to yield and we want us to talk about it some more. Some powerful shares were already given yesterday. You know, the DO, the DO, the DEW, and the wait for the DUE. All of that was expressed yesterday. So, today, I want us to talk more about it. What do you understand by the DO season? What do you understand by the DEW season? And what do you understand by the DUE season? And if you pronounce the certain cultures where these three words might be pronounced just the same way, do, do, and do, they all sound alike, you know, but they mean different things. So, welcome to the room here this morning. We're talking about the part that you must play and the faith and believing and trusting in him for the blessing and his favor that you must have, which is the DEW, and how you must patiently wait for the DUE season. You can't, you know, just rush into it. You got to wait. You know, got to wait. Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same season. You got to wait. You know, could take a year. It may not be tomorrow, but you got to wait for it. Hallelujah. But when it starts, saith the Lord, shall come like a flood. That's right. You know, you've been waiting for it. You've been waiting for it. You've been waiting for it. You believe in God. You trust in him. But don't forget the praising the Lord for it too. That's right. While you are believing God, be praising him for it. You know, and then suddenly when it starts, it'll be like almost blow you away. It could come like a storm, saith the Lord. It could come in like a flood. Praise God. It's called, he has opened the windows of heaven and let it rain and then flooding your life with his blessings. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the reminders from your word this morning. And as we share for the remaining hour, let it be a blessing to everyone, every listener and every sharer, all of us together. And let the name of the Lord be glorified and blessed in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.